Hi everyone, I'm Julian, I'm an addict. Okay. pathetic, trying to be calm. Suddenly hearing my own voice booming around. It's really nice to be here. I feel really like God knows what I'm going to talk about, but I've done this plenty by now, so I should be able to come up with something. Now thinking I've got 40 minutes worth to come up with, which is a bit daunting, but I have done it before, not here, but elsewhere, so I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll be 22 years clean next month, God willing. So I'm still here, and I remember when I was 13 years clean, I remember doing a share and saying that as I was sharing, I realized that I'd been coming to NA for way, way, way longer than I had planned to. Do you know what I mean? When I got clean, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to definitely do this when I'm sort of in my 50s. You know what I mean? I'll still be here socializing with these people, blah, 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 you know. And it suddenly occurred to me when I was 13 that I suddenly thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? I've been doing this thing for years. Surely, you know, I could sort of, it's not like I wanted to move on or do something different, but I really didn't expect to just, for it to become an enormous part of my life, which it has. And because when I came to meetings, when I first came to meetings, I didn't really know, didn't really think that much about it. I was in a treatment center. Part of the treatment was going down to this meeting in this sort of hick town, you know. And so we got in the sort of loony bus, got driven down into the town, turned up at this church hall, and there were three people there. And three strangers being really friendly and, you know, disgusting like that. And often smiling and sort of looking clean cut, which I just thought was sort of, oh, you know, I don't know what, just not nice anyway. Not my cup of tea. And apart from one of them was a guy that I used with his elder brother. And so I sort of felt, when I walked in, and he went, oh, hello, Julian, all right? You know. And I just sort of thought, you know, I quite liked it in a way because I suddenly felt like I was part of the gang compared with the other losers that I was in this treatment center with. I know these people, you know. But, it was all a bit awkward and whatever. And I didn't really get it. It just seemed like at that point in my life, it seemed just like the consequences of my using. I was a heroin addict, and so sort of hospitals, or my kind of using anyway, meant hospitals and bad things happening, you know, sort of all the time, and uncomfortable and difficult situations, probably every day. And so treatment and meetings and all that sort of thing really didn't seem like, that was just like another weird situation that I found myself in that I would not share about, do you know what I mean? Because I didn't tell you or tell anybody anything about anything that I'd ever done. And if I thought, if I felt that somebody did know something about what I was doing and how I felt, I wanted to kill you. So I was not a big sharer like I am now, you know. So but I've changed. One thing that's happened to me in recovery, I didn't get clean straight away, nothing like, but when I did get clean, I learned something really, for me, it was really lucky, really quick, which was that my using book, it was really unpleasant. It was fast, and it was the last three years of it were unpleasant, and it was all up here in the West End, and a lot of it, and that's where I started. So, and it wasn't a good where I started, and the drugs I started taking weren't good. I could have had, you know, it would have been easier to have a more glamorous start, but I didn't, and I liked it. I liked being in. I liked it and found it really frightening, but there was a particular drug called Dicanol that I liked, and you could only get that off prescription junkies, and they were all hanging out in Shaftesbury Ave, and in the strip clubs and all that, Soho was really seedy and horrible, and but it was exciting and dirty and nice, and so I started. I can't remember why I was even saying that, but I've totally lost whatever that was about. But that's where I come from. Anyway, I'll just have to start talking about something else now because my mind's gone. I'll go back to sharing. And but you know, oh, I know. You know, another vaguely related thought was I never told anybody anything about what I was doing. You know, my family only found out because I got busted up here. And they only found out because, by coincidence, my brother had come to see me and was at home waiting for me to come back. And the police turned up to say, is this where blah, blah, blah is living? You know, because he's in Bow Street. And so the next morning when I got out of Bow Street and got bailed and everything, I was delivered home. And my family didn't. I mean, there's a, you know, stupid story, which sums up. Well, in a way, it's quite relevant about sharing. I went home. My mother, when I got home, asked me if I wanted a glass of wine. We're sitting out in the sunshine outside, and I said, "Yeah, nice," you know. And she looked very sort of worried and said, "Is that all over?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." You know, with a whole lot of works and, you know, all that. And I walked inside and brushed past my father in the house, and he just said, "That's the last I'm going to say about it." And I remember just thinking, what? You know, you haven't even, what was the first? Who did you say the first thing to? You know, so I come from a home of obviously fantastic communication. it's not that I even learnt to not speak. I just couldn't. I wouldn't. And if I thought that somehow you could see how I felt about something, I really didn't know how to deal with it other than to try and maybe kill you, you know, because it made me feel so vulnerable. So vroom, all the way through my using. I then found myself, having been hospitalised, treatment centres, blah, 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 I end up wanting to be clean and not liking my using and not liking what I was doing for a living and completely freaked out and had totally lost control of my ability to even, what I would say and what I would do to get money was, I'd lost it. I would do things like in The Exorcist, where somebody would say something to me, and I would find myself replying up, you know, saying things. And in my head, I'd be thinking, "Who the fuck is saying that? Who the fuck is who decided to say that?" You know, as I'm going, "You fucking, you know, whatever," to my mother or someone. Do you know what I mean? So, I was in trouble, you know. I knew I was in trouble. When my parents found out that I was a heroin addict, they laughed with relief, they told me a few years later, because they thought, they just laughed and just thought, "Oh, okay, if that's what's going on, okay, we can handle that. That's okay." Because they thought I was just a total fucking lunatic, you know. So heroin addiction was a result for them. not quite for me at that point in my life, but... But I, when I went to, when I got clean, I noticed that if I can't remember what happened, but I remember noticing that if I told people how I was really feeling, I felt better. I would feel better for at least, I feel okay for about 5 minutes, probably. But that was a 5 minutes that I otherwise did not have. I would just feel uncomfortable all the time. I'd be thinking, worrying about anything. I got sent from one treatment center. I thought they were gonna just send me and house me and get me a job and provide me with sort of a limousine or something. And they sneaked it and they sent me to another treatment center straight after one. And I arrived there, another group of people I didn't know, and it was, you know, I obviously stayed quiet through the first sort of group or whatever meeting, and at the end the bloody guy taking the meeting said, "Well, Julian, you're here in another treatment centre, this isn't your first, how are you feeling today?" You know, and I just remember thinking, well, I'd learned that the only thing that was worth sharing to me was what I really thought. And so I just said, "I think everyone thinks I'm a fucking jerk." To which a few people, well, everybody fucking cracked up. And I said, it's true that I am a jerk. Get me out, you know. But in fact, a guy that was sort of withdrawing on the other side of the room, sweating, you know, who had also been sort of confronted, and I'd enjoyed him being confronted, and so it sort of took the pressure off me. He came over to me and just went, "That was funny." And I looked at him and thought, "I thought you were funny too." That was good. And so thank God he's still clean, I'm still clean, and we've managed to, keep each other company. But really, that talking thing, sharing, has been a really, has saved me. It saved me. Because if I hadn't had learned to do that, I wouldn't have been able to stay clean. I just wouldn't. If I didn't have meetings and a forum in which to share what I'm feeling, I wouldn't have stayed clean. There's just no way. I went, I remember I lived out of London for about a year when I first got clean. And my main reason for doing it was because I knew that, if I'm brutally honest, I remember just thinking, if I'm really honest with myself, if I'm back in London and someone embarrasses me, I'll score. They won't even need to know whether they've embarrassed me, but if they embarrass me and make me feel that feeling I don't like, I will score. And if I go and live in a town I've never lived in before, it'll take me at least 20 minutes, I reckoned, to find some smack. At least 20 minutes. And in that 20 minutes, I might change my mind. So for me, it's better I go and, if I'm going to give this recovery thing a chance, I'll go and live in this in strange town, you know. Which was a good move. So when I was listening to Marie speak before me, I found it really, it was moving listening to her, and it just sounded so sort of heartfelt, and she reminded me, because I haven't, you know, because of the end, because of my using, and because of what I felt like at the end and how I lived, I've been really terrified of using again, and I won't do things if I think something's going to risk me using again. I just won't do it. I don't care what it is. I just won't do it. And to begin with, I was like a robot with all that, with good reason. I had a lot. I didn't want to go back there. It was a frightening place to live, and and I didn't want to go back. And when I was listening to her, I just remembered a whole, because I just sort of, I don't often think about how I used to get the money every day, but I obviously did, and I didn't have a private income, sadly, so I just had to find my money from you lot, and wherever it was each day, and I used to do things at different times because of my sort of upbringing and my education and things like that. It gave me some, and I was quite arrogant and cocky, but it gave me some ins into things, so I could fraud was a big was a big thing for me, and I could lie with the best of them, I can tell you, and put me in a bank, put me anywhere like that, and I'm loving it, and I haven't thought about that for years, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? I did that. I did all kinds of things, got myself into incredible situations, locked into banks, actively committing fraud, pretending to be different people, shaking hands, suited, yes, da-da-da. I don't know what they thought I was, but they believed me. Unbelievable. But I was very lucky, because I got away with it, and the people went, I got found out, but I had impersonated members of my family and people that were prepared to let it ride. You know, they wouldn't speak to me again, but they let it ride in terms of the law, which was a result. But when I got clean, because I was so scared of using again, I stopped doing it. I stopped doing all of that stuff because I thought that it was the whole deal with me. I just thought, I can't do that. I can't. I'm not saying I was, you know, whiter than white, because I wasn't. But I really tried to avoid anything that would jeopardize, make me feel weird. I didn't want to have anything make me feel weird and then make me have secrets and dart about, because I thought that would just have me using again, and I wasn't prepared to do that. I treated myself in a way like my recovery was someone else, but it did sort of work. I didn't work for a while, and because I just didn't really want to. I was living in a seaside town, and they had amusement arcades. And I liked playing Space Invaders, Galaxians actually, which I ruled at in that town for about a year. And but then one day, somebody said I should get a job, which really annoyed me. And I think later on that evening, I remember just it suddenly in my sort of weird brain, I thought maybe my recovery will suffer if I don't work. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll end up, if I don't work now, if I've reached the point where now I have to work, if I don't work, maybe I'll just start using. And I just thought, I'm working. You know what I mean? And I just went and got a job. And which terrified me, you know, because I'd only ever worked to steal. And I had no idea about how to deal with people, really. I mean, I wasn't a complete misfit, you know what I mean? I could communicate, and I had friends and all this sort of thing. But I found it very scary. But I did it. And soon after I started working, that in a way is when recovery really started. Things started happening that kind of inspired me, because the first job I sort of got, I did this stupid thing. I had to fill in an application form, and and it had a section on it for have you suffered from alcoholism? And I just thought, you know, No.
Yes. No. Yes. No. 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 I don't want the job anyway. Yes. No. And so, do you know what I mean? I scribbled it. And then
I did that. And then the next question was, I think I'd put no to alcoholism eventually, having scribbled it out. So it was obvious that I was a liar now. And the next question was, have you ever suffered from addiction? You know, so, and even with all that sort of ink all over the page and shame as I handed it in, they wrote to me and said, you can have a job, but you have to have a medical, you know, and an interview with the company doctor. And so I went and saw this doctor, which involved being interviewed by him just with my shirt off, which was obviously exciting for him, but he didn't lay a finger on me, and we just chatted, me one side of his desk with no shirt on and him fully clothed, and which at the time I just sort of thought, well, I've done much worse, you know, so if this is getting him off. And but at the end of it, he said to me, it all seemed quite friendly, obviously, but at the end of it, he said, I've got a form to fill in here, which is from the company, and I have to decide what kind of work you are capable, I'm giving you, because it's down to me what kind of work you're going to do for the company, whether it's going to be, you know, manual, you know, office, whatever the different categories were, and there was a few of them. And I just thought, okay, you know, and actually I was just thinking, oh, give me just something, just give me some manual work, something I can just, you know what I mean, lift stuff. And that'll be perfect. And I was really, really, by this point, hoping that he would tick that box. And he said, and he finished it, and then he said, do you want to see what I've put? And I thought, no, not really. You know what I mean? I just thought it was going to be embarrassing, and, you know. And I said, yes, okay. And he handed it over to me, and he had ticked this bottom box, and I read the bit next to it, and he just said, any work they choose. He can do any work you want. And I tell you, that thing, he didn't know me. In reality, he did know me, because he knew I was, I'd suffered from addiction and alcoholism. I was new in recovery. I was, you know what I mean? He did know exactly who I was, and he gave me the thumbs up, and he put his name and signature to allow me to do any work they thought I could do, and with his blessing. And I tell you, that was fantastic. That was worth doing that whole job, which I stayed at for the next, it was only about 7 months, and it was a fucking shithole. But it was worth it for that piece of paper, for that one day, because it was so affirming to me. It made me feel so unexpected. It was great. And then, a while later, just things began to happen, changes began to take place. I realized that I wanted to do something a bit more creative, and spoke to somebody about doing a more creative job, and I had no idea what, just more creative, back in London, and £100 a week, that's what I wanted, and I got it out of the blue through a friend of a friend, and every time these things happened, I just thought, This is cool. This is like God. I think this is like God. You sort of want to be, you want to do something, and you put it out there, and you get to do it. It fucking happens. Pardon my language, by the way. I'm a terrible user of the fuck word. I use it a lot. And now in front of my parents and not their grandchildren, my brother's children. Anyway. And it's not attractive, especially from a child. Sorry. But from an adult, it's fine, obviously. So So all these things, you know, it's continued. After about a year or two of good things, my life progressing, moving back to London, meeting people, feeling things slowly changing, I lost count. For the first year or so, or 2 years, I think I could remember, and it was really important to me to remember these different events, because one event had led to the next one, and they were really magical. But after about 2 years, I'd had so many, I'd lost track. I couldn't even remember what the last one was. And I just thought, this is okay. This seems to be going okay. This whole thing seems to be going all right. And bear in mind that I didn't feel fantastic through all of this. I felt very uncomfortable being just back and alive, and not even back, away and alive, waking up anywhere alive. I didn't like it. I didn't like just waking up. I felt frightened and thought that the world was a scary place. But I had hope. I had this thing that I thought that it might get better if I hung in there. And so I've kept on doing it, kept on going to meetings, kept on working, kept on doing these things that we do in recovery, not lying, not stealing as much, you know. And I've ripped off some people blind, do you know what I mean? Years clean. I've had a business that ripped a guy for $150,000, do you know what I mean? I didn't even know, wasn't even really aware what I was doing. It's only now I look back and I just think, and I told him one day, you're not going to get your money back, I'm sorry, it's just gone, we've spent it, that's it, I'll try and pay it back, but it's gone, I'm really sorry. At which point, in fact, my partner and me in that business, I was sitting where you are there, and he was sitting this side, and we were in a tiny little hotel room in a big hotel in Victoria, what seemed like the staff floor, and he opened up a briefcase, and I looked at my mate, and he looked at me, and I just thought, he's going to shoot me. He's going to shoot me with the gun he's got in the briefcase. And I just looked at him. My friend went white as a sheet with the mafia guy on the other side of the room, and I just thought, whoops, you know, that was a bit cocky. And luckily, he obviously didn't, but I thought he was going to. And But I've been on, you know, I've learnt, and I wasn't trying to rip the guy off. I was genuinely trying to make a business work. It just didn't. And I've lost my way again now. So I've done all those things, and I've felt very, very uncomfortable. I haven't felt at ease with the world. And I've been going to meetings for, as you know, years and years, and often leaving feeling uncomfortable and going home to my home and feeling uncomfortable and wondering when I'm going to feel better and when I'm going to feel fine and if I get that, you know. And it's been an extremely slow process. But the changes that have taken place have been very, very hard-earned. And one thing about staying clean for a long time is that lots of bad and difficult things happen. And you find out very clearly why I used and why I like drugs so much. And dealing with everything in life stone cold sober is incredibly difficult and incredibly painful. No cotton wool, I'm afraid. But it has it seems to have a rather sort of, it's had a sort of magical effect on me, in that it's calmed me down. Lots of people thought I was really crazy for a long time in recovery. I remember, you know, doing shares when I'm 7, 8, 10 years, you know, and people saying things like, I tell you, man, I just thought you, I didn't understand a word you were talking about. Just thought you were mad when you did that share last year. And I just think, how dare you? You know what I mean? How dare you say something like that publicly to me? What do you mean I'm insane? I'm fantastic and I can speak, you know. But it's not true, you know. Years of staying clean and dealing with problems and dealing with myself and not using has calmed me down, and it's given me a safe place to go inside me, which is fine. And I carry it, I have it with me now, you know, I'm in it now. It's not a problem, do you know what I mean? I'm aware that I feel nervous and I'm talking to you all, but I've got to, you know, I could just run out of the room now and pretend I've never done this and I've never said anything and I've never seen you before, and I get in my car, put my music on very loud and drive home and think, that might be embarrassing when I next see those people. Do you know what I mean? But I don't think... Do you see what I mean? This is, you know, this is why people call me mad, I think, you know. So, but I haven't got anywhere else to go, and I like it. I like being in recovery. It's been a really powerful thing for me, and I've, you know, on Sunday, I'm going to my brother's house, one of my brother's house, for the christening of his new baby boy, who's my godson, who's my third godchild. And he rang me a while ago. He rang me one evening. I speak to him quite often, and he rang me, and he sounded a bit weird on the phone. I was just thinking, what's going on, you know? And he said, I've got something to ask you. And I just thought, oh, Jesus, what? You know, what? I always imagine it. I don't know what it's going to be, but really bad, you know. What? Go ahead, you know. And he said, me and Tess's wife said, so I said, we'd really like you to be godfather to Matthew. And I tell you, I completely welled up, you know, and I said, oh man, I'd be totally, be my honour, my privilege, Jesus. And his voice went completely, when I said that, he then completely went all fucking disgusting and cryy. And he didn't, obviously, but I could hear it. And I could feel it in me, and I felt so, and he just went, oh man, thanks, you know, with such a sort of wobbliness in his voice. And I said, man, really? And he said, oh, just, it's a total pleasure. I can't think of a nicer thing to happen. And I'm godfather to my other brothers, one of his sons as well, and to my mate who was sweating in that meeting. I'm godfather to his daughter. And so that's nice, those things. And I'm seeing all my family on Sunday. I'm driving my aunt up, which it'll be all right. But I'd rather just be in my car listening to really loud music rather than having to chat. But it'll be good, you know, and I actually quite like her. And she's funny. Okay. There's so much I could talk about, but it's really just recently, I haven't had much work, and the other day I suddenly just thought, I think I'm actually going to have to really do something. I'm actually going to have to do some different work or something, or actually ring someone up and try and get some work. And because I'm very lucky with my, not lucky, but I'm lazy, but I seem to get by. And I suddenly just thought, oh, I'm going to try and I'm going to see if I can do this thing that I've been wanting to do for ages. And being completely sort of skint and forced to try this new thing, it's all just happened. And I find myself now just about to, I've worked for myself for years, but I've managed to remortgage a flat that I own and get a whole load of wedge out of it so that I can start, so I can buy somewhere else and do it up and flog it, or go and buy somewhere abroad and do it up and flog it, or go on abroad. I've got so many choices, I can't believe it. And I've got some money. I've actually made some money. And I'm a free man, and I can do exactly what I choose. And that is, I've come a long way, and I feel incredibly lucky to be able to, because I've never really bought the whole 9-to-5 lifestyle that I see out there. It doesn't do anything for me. I've had to find a life which means something to me, and I have found it in here. There are lots of things that I haven't found that have been extremely painful, and I continue to look for, but there are other things that I wouldn't give up for anything, all the money in all of the world. And I wouldn't swear, I've had some fantastic spiritual experiences, fantastic experiences, and I have great friendships and incredible support, and I get it all from being clean and part of NA. So I'm a very lucky, obviously I work the steps, I've got sponsees, I've got a sponsor, I do service, blah, 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 blah. That goes without saying. And amazingly, it actually works. Extraordinary. I really didn't think the steps would, but they've helped me with the things that were the most personal experiences of my whole life that I thought had nothing to do with the steps at all. Things that were the most private, embarrassing, difficult situations for me to deal with have been healed by life, engaging with people and the steps, and a lot of talk and sharing. So I owe you, you know, and I can only do it with you lot. So thank you very much for helping me.